Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a textbook simply titled Physics by Eugen Hecht. What I would arguably say the best physics textbook I've ever read. I've read a few of them. And so far we have done the first half of chapter one. We're going to do the second half of chapter one. Some of the highlights of the first half was the definition of a law as a description, units of measure, and the various, symmetries and the idea of mass and weight, length and time. The second half we deal with how you count these things and represent them. So without further ado, 1.6, significant figures. Measurement is very different from counting, even though both associate numbers with notions. We can count the number of beans in a jar and know it exactly, but we cannot measure the height of the jar exactly. There's no such thing as an exact measurement. Practically, measurements are made to some desired precision that suits the experimenter's purpose, often determined by the limitation of available instruments. Figure 1.10 shows a rod whose length is being measured with a ruler. Assuming one end of the ruler and rod are lined up precisely, the object is between 4.1 and 4.2 centimetres long. Because there are no finer divisions than 1 millimetre on the scale, fractions of a millimetre will have to be estimated. Doing that, we conclude that the rod is 4.15 centimetres long. It's appropriate to say that the length It's inappropriate to say the length is exactly 4.15 centimetres. The length is closer to 4.15 centimetres than to either 4.14 centimetres or 4.16 centimetres, which would mean that when we write 4.15, although it can be stated explicitly, we write 4.15 plus or minus 0.01. The 4 is certain, and the 1 is, but the 5 may be in error by as much as plus or minus 1. And trying to arrive at any more figures should be meaningless. A digit is in a number is said to be significant when it's known with some reliability, like the 4 and the 1 and even the 5. When the result is presented, such as 4.15, it can be assumed that all figures are significant and the 5 is the least significant. Note that to specify the rod lengths exactly would require an infinite number of significant figures. 3 significant figures, the length of the rod is 4.15 centimetres, or 41.5 millimetres, or 0.0415 metres, or 0.0000415 kilometres. Each of these is equivalent. Each has 3 significant figures. Moving the decimal point and changing the unit's prefix has no effect on the accuracy of the numbers. Hence, zeros to the left of the 4 only locate the decimal point and not the significant figures. Zeros to the right, however, are significant. If you use a micrometer and measure the rod to have an exact length of 4.150 centimetres, there are 4 significant figures. Needless to say, carelessness with the right-hand zeros cause ambiguities. For example, the distance to the sun is 146 million kilometres, but writing 146,000,000 kilometres implies 9 significant figures, which is not the case. The only significant figures should be given, and the decimal point should be located using scientific notation. The distance to the sun is 146 by 10 to the 9 metres, or 146 by 10 to the 6 kilometres, or 14.6 by 10 to the 7 kilometres, and so forth. When we construct a careful measurement, a number of determinations are made and averaged. The deviations are examined, all possible errors are analysed, and the numerical uncertainty is associated with the measurement. Thus, it is found that the mass of an electron is 9.1093897 × 10⁻¹³ kilograms, with an uncertainty of 0.59 parts per million. The latter phrase is translated as something. Hence the mass is that number plus a whole number of zeros, 4.54 by 10 to the 7, by 10 to the minus 31 kilograms. Here they're actually beginning to use the correct modern scientific formation, is without the commas involved in it. And this is a very important thing. So if you have in groups of three, there's a small half space. That's with the modern science. And just see if they're using half space. No, they're not using the full modern way of writing numbers. Processing significant figures. Computations frequently involve measured quantities, and we need to establish how to deal with multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction of significant figures. Consider the area of a rectangle whose side is 10.75 and 3.54 centimetres. To keep track of things, doubtful digits are bold-faced. The area is the product of the length times the width, which is 38.0550 centimetres squares. As a rule, we keep only one doubtful digit and round off the answer accordingly. If the first significant figure has been dropped, is 5 or more, raise the last significant figure, being retained by 1. If it's less than 5, leave it unchanged. But here, 0.550 is rounded up to 81.1 centimetres. Rather than computing the number of significant figures in each case, we'll use this rule. So the 3.54 3.54 has only got three significant figures, so you only have three significant figures in your answer, and then you round the answer up accordingly. The rule is equivalent to saying that making a calculation cannot improve on the precision of the numbers used. The rule is rough. It can occasionally reduce the precision. For example, it's possible, using the same instrument, to measure a flat plate to have sides of 0.41 and 1.51 with 2 and 3 significant figures, respectively. The area is 1.3741 centimetres. Meters squared. According to the rule, that's 1.4 meters squared, even though the uncertainty is in the 7, and 1.37 meters squared is the better answer. Regardless of the rare exceptions, we will stick to the rule. There's an example here which I won't read because it's hard to actually get across. The significance of digits in addition and subtraction is determined in relation to the location of the decimal point. Suppose a rod of 140 millimetres is added to one of 2 metres long, and we want the total length. It might be assumed that 0.140 metres plus 2.0 is 2.14 metres. We know nothing about the digits in the second and third decimal places of the 2.0, so we cannot know the sum is accurate to three decimal places. It makes sense to round off the sum to the least number of decimal places of any number appearing in the summation. The length of the rod is 2.1 meters, and both the 2 and 1 are significant figures as a rule. The result of addition or subtraction should be rounded off so that it has the same number of decimal places to the right of decimal point as the quantity in the calculation having the least number of decimal places. Thus, 275 seconds minus 270 seconds equals 5, and 120 kilograms minus 40.0 kilograms is 80 kilograms. So it's basically the decimal place tells you the accuracy that it's known. So if it was 100, I'm adding this, if it's 120.0 minus 40.0 kilograms, it would be 80.0 kilograms. In time, we will work with several transcendental functions, sines, cosines, tangents, logarithms, and exponentials. All of these can be determined using the scientific calculator. For instance, the sine of 35.1 degrees is 0.575009525. Here, the number whose sun has been taken, the argument of the function is 335.1. The calculator is trying to please. Provides us with a full register of figures, most of which are meaningless. What it actually gives us is the sine of 35.1000000 degrees. We shall follow that rule. The values of transcendental functions have the same number of significant figures as their arguments. This is not actually true in actual fact. Well, there is a way of doing it by actually going through your function and putting the high and low values of the different things through your functions. But this is the best you can do by hand. Thus, the sine of 35.1 is 0.575. 35 in the argument is certain, but there is some doubt about the 0.1. And so, the right, we're certain about the 0.75, has the doubt about the 0.05. In agreement with the rule, sine of 35 is 0.574, and the sine of 35.2 is 5.76. Now, of course, this is what you really have to do. This is a different way of doing this. This is for an old school. What you do is you put, in your calculation, you put the top and bottom errors and do a Monte Carlo simulation. Because rounding off intermediate numbers within a calculation can produce cumulative errors, one or two significant figures should be carried through the intermediate calculations, and only in the final answers should the property be rounded off. It's appropriate to run through the entire analysis on calculator and round off only the final answer. In fact, because this is not mathematically rigorous, that's what you have to do. So if you keep on rounding off, you'll get meaningless answers really quickly. That's also to actually put the correct number of decimal places. Language is physics. Physics is done in almost every language on Earth, and yet it has a symbolic dialect of its own, all of its own, that is understandable to all practitioners. Learning the vocabulary is the most basic task confronting the student. Being able to make translation from everyday discourse into the language of physics and onto the symbolic statements of mathematics is part of the process of mastering the subject. As you move through the text, commit to memory the definitions of physical concepts, like displacement, velocity, acceleration, and so on. Physics is progressively elaborated in terms of quantities that have previously been defined. You cannot understand accelerating without understanding velocity. You cannot understand velocity without remembering displacement. Physics, perhaps more than any other discipline you have studied before, builds on definitions and basic principles. Once we learn the scientific vocabulary, we can transpose the experience of everyday life to carefully defined terminology of physics. For example, how much space has been occupied by the big round red balloon 10 meters across? This question translates into, what is the volume of a sphere 10 meters in diameter? The scientific words volume, sphere, diameter have exact meanings. They have specific relationships between them. We know how to calculate the volume of a sphere in terms of its diameter. No such relationship exists for the ordinary words space, round, or cross. That is a very important point. Equations. Newton was the last great physicist to do his work without routinely representing physical quantities symbolically and writing equations describing their interrelationships. That is amazing, because that's what I found studying his in Latin, which is really interesting to go through. Today, the approach is unthinkable. We assign each physical quantity a symbol, T for time, A for acceleration, V for volume, R for radius, and so forth. Of course, we do try to pick symbols that will be easy to remember, though it's not always possible. Moreover, we have standardized mathematical signs that act as conceptual shorthand. For this reason, transforming verbal scientific statements into symbolic ones is twofold. First, they are concise. A sentence such as the volume of the sphere is equal to 4/3 of the product of pi times the radius of the cube becomes that. V equals 4/3 pi r cubed. Certainly you have to know the definitions of volume, radius, and pi for this equation to make any sense. Once the technique is mastered, though, a whole range of symbols can readily be read like a story. Secondly, there exists a mathematical symbolic logic called algebra that's immediately applicable to physics. If you know the volume of a sphere and you want to find the radius, the rules of algebra tell you that whatever it is, r equals the cube root of 3 times the volume of 4 pi r. Try thinking this through in sentences. Using algebra, we can combine several physical equations to arrive at new relationships that would otherwise be extremely difficult to deduce. This is what I gave the podcast about reading Latin to get through Newton, because people have really falsely doctored Newton up with equations, and he was saying slightly different things. Graphs. Complex relationships can be represented algebraically, but it's often hard to get a feeling of the interplay between the variables in the equation. That's a great virtue of graphs. We can plot an equation and literally see what happens to the quantity as the other varies and takes it all in at a glance. Furthermore, physicists usually have collections of data, and by graphing them, they can get a handle on the interdependence of measured quantities. It just went off by itself. The simplest situation is one where there's one variable which depends directly on another, y equals mx, and m is the constant. The larger m is, the faster y changes with the changes in x. For example, if you get a 10% discount at m equals 0.1 on the price of a shirt x in a store, you save y equals mx dollars. Figure 1.1 is a plot of y versus x, and m is the slope of the line. Because the graph is a straight line, y equals mx is called a linear equation. There are many physical relationships, such as Ohm's law and Hooke's law, that are linear. Here, the line passes through zero, so that at x equals zero, y equals zero, but that didn't be the case. Figure 1.12 shows a graph with a function of mx plus b, where m is again the slope and b is the point where the line now crosses the y-axis when x equals zero. Frequently, a quantity depends on the square of some other parameter. Mathematically, the situation appears as y equals k to the x squared, where k is a constant. For example, the area of a square whose sides are the length l, a equals l squared, where k equals 1. Double the length of the length, and the area of the square increases by a factor of 4. A second-degree equation is the kind is called quadratic. The graph of x is a parabola. As we see, a falling object descending along a straight line drops a distance x distance y proportional to the time of the fall squared. A plot of distance versus time is parabolic. It is in a very different way. A ball thrown into the air follows an arc path space essentially parabolic. The equations can describe a relationship between physical parameters, but they can also represent actual flight paths through space. Both can be graphed. Another common situation occurs when a quantity y depends inversely on some other quantity, y equals k divided by x, or y x equals k, where k is a constant. The bigger x gets, the smaller y becomes, but y x is a constant. For example, suppose you are designing a rectangular floor and let's say the fitted area k. The longer x the floor is made, the narrower y must be, since y x equals k. The graph of y versus x is a hyperbola that gradually approaches zero as x increases. At a constant temperature, a plot of pressure against volume for a variety of gases is a hyperbolic. Approximation checks. There are about 10 to the 11 galaxies in the universe. Okay, we now know there's probably 20 times that. Okay. No one has ever counted them, but we have photographed the sky, counted the number of galaxies in a small region, and estimated the whole, making approximations alike that are partly of everyday doing physics. We approximate how much material we need for an experiment, how much time it takes, and how much power to expend, and so forth. This is going to be mercifully short. How accurate an approximation is depends on the accuracy of the data that goes into it, and the level of detail we devote to the calculation. For example, if all the people in the United States were placed head to foot, how far would they extend? There are about 250 million people, though roughly 2 meters tall. That's 5 by 10 to the 8 meters, which is greater than the distance to the moon. That's not a very good approximation, because 2 meters is a poor guess in average height. It's too tall. So what we calculated is an extreme. We know the exact answer would probably be There probably isn't one. The people being born and dying is less than 5 to the 10 8 meters. We can improve things by assuming there are 186 by 10 to the 8 adults, 1.6 meters tall, and 64 by 10 to the 6 children, averaging 1 meter tall. That yields a distance of 4 by 10 to the 8 meters, which can't be too far off. After all, if everyone in the country averaged only 1 meter tall, distance would still be 2.5 by 10 to the 8 meters. Notice how looking at the extremes of the situation puts things in perspective. It's common practice to check a solution to a problem by making quick approximations. For example, suppose where a swimming pool is 3.1 so many meters deep and so many wide and so many meters wide. We can do the volume very quickly. Because we've rounded up and down, the approximation can be expected to be on the large side. Still, it provides a check to show us that 285.8 meters is roughly the right size. Okay, this is the core material, which I'll read again for the chapter. Physics is the study of the physical universe. Data is an objective record of our observations. A law is a statement of a recurring pattern of events, a statement of description. A theory is an explanation of phenomena. An agreed-upon measure of physical quantity is a unit. The unchanging embodiment of a unit serves as the primary reference standard. This our unit is based on the meter, kilogram, and second. The result of multiplication and/or division should be rounded off so that it has as many significant figures as the least precise quantity in the calculation. The result of addition and subtraction should be rounded off so it has the same number of decimal places as the quantity in the calculation having the least number of decimal places. The value of transcendental function has the same number of significant figures as their arguments. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.